And here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio Online. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. Thank you, Don and Douglas. It's awesome that this is possible for us. We have our Wednesday call tonight. You got questions, we got answers. It's amazing the answers that come through our wonderful friend Terry Brown from our sources on the other side of the veil. It's amazing, and I'm very glad to be part of this, and I'm glad that you are listening in. It is April the 27th, 2016, and we are waiting at this point for our dear host, Mr. Winfrey, and his co-host, our beloved sister, Terry Brown. At this point, we are with a small crowd here on the conference call. This show is, as usually, a simulcast with a conference call. And we cannot hear you if you're listening online, but we are glad you're here. And 1 minute away from the hour, I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Prudence in Nashville.
Prudence, how are you?
I'm all right.
All right. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. When this have the announcement email out, I just noticed 10 minutes ago, 9 minutes ago, it does not show a question for tonight.
Do you think they can help me lock?
They can, for sure. Are they going to? All right, we had a few more callers join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well, my friend.
All right.
All right. And somebody else joined in after you were with you. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
This is Wynn.
Ladies first, please. Who's that?
Wynn.
What's your name?
Control heist.
Susan.
Susan, how are you? Where, which state are you today?
I'm in Maryland.
I thought that was going to be the state of abundance.
Hey, that's good. I wish I'd said that now.
How are you, Susan?
Great.
Susan,
how's your
love life, Susan?
Improving day by day.
That is a good answer.
All right. Thank you for being here, Ben. We had more callers joined in. Please say your name and location.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Our beloved sister, Terry. Thank you so much for being here, Terry.
Good to hear you.
All right. Good to have you here, Terry.
Hi, Terry and Wynn.
Hi.
Hey, Heiss, what was that music you played on Sunday?
That was from the Guru Ganashu band, something like it.
Oh.
They are on YouTube. All right, let me first welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Layton, Sedona, Arizona.
Hello,
hi, Layton.
Welcome to the call.
Hello, everyone. Is that
hey.
Terry?
Yes, it
hi.
Is.
Did the milk come?
It did.
I'll have to
for
come
everybody
over
that
tomorrow.
Does... No, we on Wednesday is milk delivery day. Like the old days.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the call, Marilyn.
Hi.
Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Brother Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good. What's up, Brother Heiss?
Hey, another beautiful day.
Yeah, ready to play in Memphis.
All right. We had more people join in. Welcome if you want to say your name and location.
Lena in Sedona.
Welcome to the call.
Hi, Lena.
Hi. This is Deb in Lapine.
Hello, Deb. Fine.
Hi.
Welcome to the call. Good evening. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Dharmananda here.
Dharmananda, my brother. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well.
All right.
Quick to you, Don. That song I played is from the Guru Ganesha, spelled as G-U-R-U, G-A-N-E-S-H-A, band.
That's the elephant-headed
elephant-headed
god from India, Ganesha.
Oh, Ganesha.
Yeah. Right, they are Indians, and they're I guess they're located in the L.A. area. And the clip they're showing on YouTube is taped in Joshua 3. And, yeah, to me, it is. I got it from a friend who sent it to me, Ralph Ring. It really touched me. It's so awesome to listen to it. I think it's a great song. It really, you know, you feel connected. You feel connected with all of this. It's like a mantra. All right.
Padme Hum is a very good kind of uplifting kind of chant.
Yeah. In the meantime, it is 4 minutes past the hour, and Wynn and Terry are here. We are live on BBS Radio. I welcome all those folks that are listening in. Thank you for being here. Also here on the conference call. Wynn, I am handing to you. Like it or not. When we cannot hear you.
Do I have to talk?
You know, let's do it silent.
If you could read my mind. I was going to try to do the call psychically.
This is an encounter in epilepsy.
No, yeah.
I knew you were going to say
that. Wynn just called me a name.
Wynn, are you really thinking about cheesecake?
You mean eating it or no, I'm actually just organizing the questions.
Okay.
But
so
I'm
when
here.
When we finish the call, I've got some blueberry muffins.
Ooh.
All right.
Wynn, you have a birthday coming up, don't you?
Every year.
I got one twice a year.
Every moment is my birthday.
Birthday.
Wynn, is the old question number, email working again or no?
My email's working, yeah.
Is the question to Intelligent Infinity back?
I got your question, Don.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I got it.
Actually, now you got both questions.
Sorry. Chris, how are you doing? Give us a report. I'm scared.
I was supposed to be in Nashville for the next 2 months, but her boyfriend came back because he was on the Appalachian Trail, but he gave up. So I'm back in Memphis. So I was house sitting, and now I think I got a job prospect at Nike. And I was working at Williams Sonoma, but it was just temp job. But now I can go directly to Nike, and they got really good benefits and good salary. So
Chris, have you read the book from Dr. Friedman, the Man Who Walked with Jesus?
No, I haven't. I was kind of, I listened to him on Saturday, and it looks, I hadn't had a lot of extra money to do anything, but it looks really interesting, you know.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm not really ready, but here we go.
All right.
There we go. Starting the recording.
This conference is being recorded. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
April 27th, 2016. Hey, we got through April. This is Lynn and Terry in Sedona and all of you everywhere. And it is so nice to be here. I wanted to make a couple of comments, especially relating to some of the questions I'm getting. And I've been having some really good conversations with Marilyn Lawrence. Some of you know her. She did the call on Monday with Edna, and she helps coordinate a lot of stuff. And she's really is a great maternal figure. She's really loving, and you know, we had a talk because and we're still having it. It's ongoing. There's, hi there, who's that? Oh, no, we're muted. We just hear your ding. All right, forget it. You know, there are many, many people talking and putting out different ideas right now. I'm sure many of them have come to you. There are the people that are saying that Jesus is coming around the corner. Then there's people that are around that say they are Jesus, and they're here. And then there's people saying there's this big event that's going to happen. Let's wait for the big event. Then there's people that are saying there's ETs that are going to save us. And then there's people saying there's ETs that are going to get us. And there is a certain anxiety that one can tap into that says, what's up, Doc? they can't all be right, okay? Or maybe they can all be right. Maybe there are different realities that we are going to go into. And, you know, one can get very, very preoccupied trying to figure out who has it right. I mean, what is there to look forward to? And one of the issues that comes up is that we find ourselves in a less than optimum life. There's things that are wrong with our life that we'd like to shift. And we start thinking, or we start going into a waiting mode. What do I have to bother with these things in my life when the big event's going to happen? And to me, or even if, when Jesus comes back, or any of the other things we could look forward to as if they were going to save us, okay, from ourselves. Now, one of the interesting things that I've personally experienced, and many of you on the line have experienced this, if you've been listening to the calls, is that occasionally we get a report on somebody that's died, okay? And Terry has the ability to tap into that. And sometimes it's kind of amazing. Like a year ago, we were in Spencer Point, was it? I don't know. We were at a, her brother had died a couple of years past. And I wouldn't say, if we go on this idea of graduation, I wouldn't say her brother was a candidate to graduate.
No, he is definitely not. but he did really good. because he was very sensitive. He could sense I was talking to him, and he could talk back, and he could...
Wait, you're jumping the gun here. You don't even know
Sorry.
What we're talking
go
about.
Ahead. Go ahead.
All right?
Okay.
Listen, I'll let you know when you can interrupt.
No, I want to hear what you're saying.
Well, you know, what you did wrong was you didn't really give people the context of where we were going. They don't know how your brother showed up, okay? And
yeah.
I was leading up to it. And,
oh, go
you
ahead.
Know, I can,
go ahead.
I can, you know, I can talk about this because this is obviously an area of great concern for every single person that's on this call, and probably, on some level, for every person on the planet, if they ever addressed it. And since we're all going to die, we know we're going to die, what happens? What does it look like? Can we do it? What can we do to impact that experience so it's better? What can we do right now in our lives to impact it? And, you know, one of the things that I have observed in connection with people who have died, who Terry has connected with, and we can talk about a few of them. We have Carla Rucker. We have Robin Williams, if you never heard the story. We have Terry's brother, and occasionally somebody on the line asked a question on a Wednesday about one of their dearly departed. And even dogs and cats. And the one thing that I have observed about that is that it seems to me in most cases, and in fact in all of the cases that I have observed personally, when people die, they feel just like they did when they were alive, except they don't have a body, or they have a body that's in the astral. And there's this mystery of the astral realm. And as far as I can tell, all of us right now are in the astral realm as well as in the physical. And the astral seems to be somewhat of a higher dimensional realm of the physical. But it's still got negative in it. The astral realm is not heaven. It's not next to God, so to speak. And some of the aspects of the astral realm is, even though you have some kind of experience of having a body, and you're aware of yourself, usually you're hanging around the physical realm when you die. You're hanging around it. And you can move from one place to the other just by thinking about it. So you tend to move to places where you have a connection. Like, you move to people that you have connection with. And then you hang around them, and you try to talk to them, and they can't hear you. But you can hear them. And it's kind of frustrating, because you want them to know that you're there, and you're watching. And if you're somewhat adept, you can even do something that makes them aware of you. Like, for example, who is that woman, Kathy, who asked a question quite some time ago about her son. And her son, you remember that, Terry?
Oh, yeah, that was astounding.
Yeah. Well, okay, now you can share that story.
Pardon?
You can share that. Yeah, that was a good story.
Oh, yeah, her son died, and she was supposed to call her. And he never called, and then he died of a drug overdose. And so we contacted him, and he was scared to move. He was like, he didn't know what to do. Like, he didn't mean to leave his body and stay away, but he just was taking these drugs, and he couldn't get back. So he was, like, frozen in time. It's like not wanting to do the wrong thing or not knowing what to do. So he just was frozen there. And so we got him talking, and he said he was supposed to call his mom. And that was the heaviest thing on his mind, that he was supposed to call her, and he didn't call her. So we guided him on how to move around, and that was really astounding for him. He was really happy that he learned, like, he could go and look over the lights off the coast of California and see the lights, or he could intend himself somewhere. And so he wanted to go visit his mom, so we went with him to his mom's house, and she was cleaning up the dishes and putting stuff away after the meal, and cleaning up the kitchen.
Now, when you were working with this guy, you didn't have his mom on the phone or anything, right?
No, she wasn't on the phone. I mean, it was just...
She asked the question about him, right?
And so you
immediately tuned into his energy and made a connection with him because she asked the question, right?
Right.
Okay, and I just wanted to clarify. I wanted to clarify that because otherwise it's confusing. Okay.
Yeah. So he said hello to her, but she couldn't. She didn't know he was there. She couldn't hear him. And so we asked him what he wanted to do. He wanted to stay around there and make contact with her. And so we left him there, and she had a touch light, one of those lights that you touch, and it goes on, or you touch it, and it goes off. And after he died, the touch light would never work, and she took it to the shop and said, fix it, and it wouldn't work. And it was his touch light. And so she had it by her bed, and the touch light started working. And she thought, all right, that's him. Like on Mother's Day, the touch light went on. Like, Happy Mother's Day. And so that he wanted to reincarnate back into their family somehow and have his mom. He really loved his mom, and he wanted to somehow still have his mom in the family group. So that was where we left them.
So she was convinced that the touch light was going on because he was making it work, right?
Right. She was. He was the only one that could make it work before, and here he was back, and he was turning it on and off.
Now, I don't know the answer from an engineering point of view, how the light could break, and then somebody that's essentially a ghost, right, can turn it on. But the real point I'm trying to make is that when you leave this realm, you still are connected to the energies of this realm. And you're still connected to the people that you have connections with. And you know, you can keep up those connections, and you can probably continue in this realm. And, of course, the classical definition for that is that you're a ghost, right?
Right.
And, and how long can a ghost be around, Derry? Indefinitely, right? Hundreds of years.
They can just, until they figure it out, and they have to change their focus to change their situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was one guy, one family that called into the Wednesday night call and said that they lived in an apartment house, and the manager had died, and people would get knocks on the door, and they would open the door, and he'd be standing there, be like a real person standing there, and then he would just disappear. it's like, and so we did some work with him, and it was so important to him, his apartment house, that he just did not want to give it up and give up all of this important things he considered that he was doing, and so he refused to give it up. He just kept knocking on people's doors and stuff.
Now, it seems like some of these ghosts are more adept than others. Like, I'll bet you they'd all like to be turning lights on and off, but most of them probably can't, you know?
Right.
And otherwise, we'd have thousands of lights going on and off. Now, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why some can do stuff like that and some can't.
I knocked out the lights once too. I was in a restaurant, and it's like I went out of my body, exterior to my body, and I was looking at the electric wires up in the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
and the lights all immediately went out in the restaurant, and all over British Columbia, the lights went out, and they couldn't get them on for 3 days. And they traced it to a surge, electrical surge. But I didn't have control over it. I couldn't turn them off and on.
So, you know, a lot of people that have strong energy walk around, and the streetlights suddenly go out when they walk under them, you know?
I do that too sometimes,
you know? Yeah. Well, you know what? One lifetime, Terry was a saint. Probably another one, she was a witch. Because, you know, what happens is when you have these expanded energies, you become pretty weird in this realm, okay? And I think the point I was really making is, and then another option is you're around as a ghost, And do ghosts commiserate with other ghosts?
They can, yes.
I mean, we know there's a lot of people dying, so there must be hundreds of thousands of ghosts, right?
Yeah, we had a call a couple of weeks ago where there was a couple that were ghosts, a man and a woman, and they were still living in the house, and the man, it's like he just wanted to continue his life in the house. And the woman did too. And so they were like a man and a wife ghost in the house, and they could talk and everything. Mm. And so she was kind of catching on to the fact that she was a ghost, but the man wasn't catching on at all.
Can we zoom into Prince tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Can we zoom into Prince tonight?
Prince.
The pop star who passed away last week and who's all over right now?
I don't think he can talk to us. Okay. I mean, for whatever reason, I can't feel his energy. Okay. Like, I could feel Carla's energy when I would talk to him. Even Robin Williams, I could feel his energy. But I can't. I mean,
I can feel. I never even heard him play or anything like that. But I can tune into his energy. But it's like he's moving on. It's like he's preoccupied. That's another thing that you have to be careful of, like when you're talking to somebody that's passed over, that you don't distract them and knock them off of their, like if they're in the process of increasing their energy or they're finding their way, and that you don't disrupt them. You have to integrate with them really gently and see if they contact you back or they share energy with you.
You know Purple Rain, Terry, or don't you? Purple Rain, Purple Rain.
She doesn't know it.
No?
No, she's lucky. Terry has been in her own zone most of her life. And, you know, I don't even think she heard Bob Dylan songs when she was younger.
I heard one Bob Dylan song, but I just... Yeah. You know, I like it better now than I did, but at the time I was just thinking, man, he sings off key.
Yeah. Well, so do I. There.
I know. So do I.
All right. But in any case,
6:29.
Well, I was talking because we didn't have that many questions, but now we got a bunch of questions coming in. So, but you know what? It's very interesting when we get Terry talking. Okay, it's better if we do it without scheduling it. Maybe we'll learn to schedule it. But you know,
I like it when it's extemporaneous.
Mm-hmm. You
then
do.
Then I don't have to think about it beforehand.
You don't get self-conscious, right?
Right.
Right. But in any case, thank you for sharing all that. And I might ask a question about dying and those kinds of things, just since we talked about it. And since it is such a huge, it should be at least a passing interest in everybody about, there's, you know, one thing that I just mentioned that blows me away is I happen to know a lot of people now and who they were in their past lives. And it's not a lot, but, you know, probably at least 15 or 20. And I'm sure I have figured out their past lifetime. You know, they look like the person. I might have had a connection with them in a past life. And it blows me away that even though they're doing something a completely different way of expressing in this lifetime, they have exactly the same attitudes, the same habits, the same patterns. And I know it's the same person. It's the same person, but they're in a different play. But they're still themselves, and they have to figure out, how do I work this in this play? And they don't, of course, remember their past life. But in every single case that I have been associated with, it's almost always a clear, clear trajectory. Except sometimes they get more expanded. Like, I think Terry is a lot more expanded this lifetime than she was in, say, the St. Catherine lifetime. But yes, she still has, if you read about St. Catherine, there are most definitely the same patterns that St. Catherine experienced, that Terry experiences. And, you know, I've observed it. I watched it carefully. And one of the things that I'm good at is, like, being a detective and putting things together and looking for clues and correlations. And that's how I convince myself of this stuff, through my detective work. Even if the Elohim say something, I still have to be a detective, particularly if it's something that's important, that could make a difference for people. I have to validate it as like a detective. Okay, now, let's get into our questions for tonight. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of life and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here this evening with you, the 27th of April, 2016. This moment in time, this now, one of the things that came up earlier in our talk was that some people are getting the feeling that there may be something about to happen. We take a look and we see that the moment of now is a moment of power, and the future has not yet come. The present can morph into the future in time, but if the things to do with the present are so far in place that the trajectory will lead to an outcome, then it can happen. However, just because the trajectory and all of the events, everything, all of the attitudes, all of the inclinations, they're all lined up to bring a certain result, it doesn't mean that it has to happen. It can be changed if the parameters are changed, then the outcome can be changed, even if philosophers and the sages are predicting something, it can still be changed. There are a lot of levels where change can happen. It can happen at a physical level. It can happen in the components that put the physical level together. Do you have questions?
Yes, thank you. I'm just going to ask one question about dying, and maybe we'll do a Monday call. We've done this in the past, but maybe we can go a little deeper. You know, this idea that when you die, you end up hanging around the Earth realm and visiting people, and then you can decide to leave, or, like in Carla Ruckert's case, at least the last time we addressed this, she loves so many people in this realm that she seems to be going around and hanging around the people and giving them energetic support that she loves, probably including us. So that's a free will decision of someone that's left the realm, I assume. But do they really have a decision, or do they have to stay in this realm helping people? Or what are the various parameters of potentials, and how are they brought about?
Thank you. Usually, it's not setting aside a time and making a big decision. Usually, decisions are made little by little as one builds their reality and their path, sees where they are going. So the decision, by the time they get there, is already made.
Is that the answer?
Yes.
Okay. And like when a person is like a ghost, for example, you know, sometimes they're all by themselves. And do they have to move into a higher place in the astral to start to experience other beings that are also here?
If they move into a higher place, for instance, if they ask and allow and are vulnerable and open to being moved to the higher level, the heavenly level, or some of the other realms at a higher dimension, then they, and they're refocusing. It is a matter of refocusing, and if they ask, then the earth, the universe, the Elohimus, the Ragupas, it makes it happen for them. And they, as they refocus, then they, in a sense, it's refocusing, but in another sense, it is traveling to the higher realm. And in the higher realm, then they are able to connect with other beings who can listen to them and communicate with them, even though their physical body is not there. If they stay in the physical realm, it is rather hard to find a connection, although not impossible. There are people who are able to tune into them and to speak with them. However, in general, the majority of people cannot hear them, see them, or know that they're talking to them. So they then can feel isolated. And if they find, say, they move to some situation where a woman is pregnant, go to a hospital where babies are being born, then they are able to take a human body, and then they are able to be heard again.
Thank you. Okay, question from Morgan. I am asking about the spirit lady I saw in the kitchenette about a month and a half ago. She had a lovely white lace dress on. I only saw her to her shoulders and her right side of her face. No words, but lovely images. And my question is she my angel? Is she an angel? Is she a relative? Or what did she want to get across to me? Thank you.
she would like to be acknowledged. She would like to be seen. She would like to make connection. She is looking for a way to make connection. So she is not only in your kitchen, but she is peering in different situations. We are talking slowly here because we are looking. Do not get too attached or involved with this woman. Let her move on by. Let the images move on by. Is there? We look for the words to describe it. There are doors. And that is not a good word, entrances and tunnels of energy that she is connected to. So let her go on by, and her focus will move on. And in fact, mostly has moved on.
Thank you. So this is not someone that Morgan has any connection with. It's just kind of a random spirit that ended up there and saw her. Could we say that?
The woman in lace feels a bond with Morgan, both female, feminine, and we would not suggest reviewing this in close detail or bringing the woman back.
Okay, thank you. Dave Farringer asked the question.
What is
and
the name?
Dave Farringer,
right?
In Grove City, Pennsylvania. He's on our calls a lot. He's a musician. I think he might even make guitars. And I seem to have recovered from the pain in my left side. And I'm asking about what caused it to heal. Was it meditation? Was it vitamins? Was it ozone? Or was it something to do with the Elohim? He didn't ask that. I'm just throwing that in. Some healing from higher realms.
Thank you. The first thing is your own desire, your own willingness to heal, your own bringing to bear up on the area, the circumstances which allow it to heal, the movement, the beginning of movement of energy where it was blocked before, and the beginning of movement to allow that blockage to clear.
Thank you. We have a question from Jen in... She is in California, Pennsylvania tonight. There's a city in Pennsylvania called California. But she lives in Cincinnati, but she's in Pennsylvania tonight. And I have been going through my awakening process for the last few years. And the process has been both painful and enlightening. I have lost friends, and I've had very difficult family issues due to my choices. I left my marriage, my job, my state to find peace, but it's been anything but peaceful. I am now meditating, and I know when my higher self is talking to me, but I have found that I've lost interest in many of my 3D experiences and almost wish I could transition to the heavenly realms now. I want to know how to keep myself grounded and if I am indeed on the right path. Any advice from our sources is what I need. I love you and Terry with all my heart. You both have been a godsend to me. I honestly don't know how I would have gotten through the last 4 years without you two. Jen, you know what? You make me feel responsible, and I'm not good at that, but I'll do my best. Thank
would you,
Freddie.
Would you read the last sentence again?
No, it's too mushy, okay?
The last sentence.
I want to know how to keep myself grounded, and if I am indeed on the right path, any advice from our sources is what I need. In other words, Jen has let go of a lot of the familiar things in her life, and she is starting to tap in to higher realms. She's having the experience of her higher self talking to her, but she's lost interest in 3D, and she wants to know how to keep herself grounded and if she's on the right path.
Thank you. Your connection with the earth realm can bring in peace if you are able to let go. You are looking at the connection with your higher self and the resolution of differences in opinions and looking at energies within your lower self that have been bringing back into your focus the upsets from the past. Learning, and this is difficult, but learning to look at exactly what is there without force, but we are talking slowly because we are doing the thing that we are talking about. Looking at your space and seeing exactly what's there, accepting it, letting it be, accepting it, and using it as sort of an investigative tool of what is there and what can then be morphed into the resolution of any of these conundrums that may be going on in your mind. It is not the location where you are that brings peace. It is the mind, control over the mind, acceptance, seeing what is there, and allowing it to run through, dismissing it, not by force, but just letting it play out. Sometimes, as you were noticing, it gets worse before it gets better. Another thing, when you are looking at events and things in your life and you lose interest, then there are a couple things that can be going on. One of them is that you are taking it to fruition where you have completed something. For instance, you have been changing location and changing the things that you are doing. You have set new paradigms. Things that were occupying your mind before then can be let go, and you can develop new things to be excited about, new goals, new possibilities within this very realm here. One is in the third density to learn the lessons of third density, and when one has let go of some of the circumstances, one can then build new energies in new circumstances. We hope this gives you some clues. We love you.
I think that I would just add to that when you start building your aspects in your higher realms, you start to feel more aware, more wise, and maybe even a sense of bliss sometimes. It is so important to be able to take those things and find a way to bridge them into this realm to make a contribution here. Because many of you came into this realm to make a contribution and from a higher place, and you lost the ability to know how to do it once you were here, or you didn't have the ability, and you spent lots and lots and lots of lifetimes floundering around. And then suddenly, when you start to get it, know that you can make a difference that you didn't know you can make. You are trained to feel worthless and unworthwhile and unlovable and unloving. And as soon as you can get on top of that, you can find little ways to make a difference. And little ways start building the energy of being here. And next, let me see, it's 6:54. You know, we had a really important question by Bob Travers in Chico. And
yes.
But I don't think we have time to... I'm going to ask it again next week. But it related to something I said earlier, because Bob was asking about... there's this idea that the dark energy... You know, there's a lot of channels and different people that says there's no more dark negative energy, they're being removed by the light, and we're coming into the golden age of peace and harmony, and yet everything's in chaos, including in my own life to some extent. And, Bob, I got to say, there's a war going on between dark and light. When people say the dark energy is eradicated, there's no more dark energy, from my perspective, run away from those people, because I don't believe that's true. I believe that... there's still a lot of stuff in transition, and I hope that becomes true. And the negative still has a lot of power in this realm, and we all have to cope with it. And any comment from our sources on what I said, without going into it in detail?
Let's give us a moment. We dropped out of the channeling mode for a minute, and we'll be getting it back here. It is a pie in the sky type of analysis to say that the light has won and the dark is no longer here, or dark has lost. There are levels.